And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man. Not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report. This is episode 38, being recorded in the grand old month of March 2012. Just a few more months until the end of all things as we know it. No, I'm not talking about the Mayan prophecy. I'm talking about Fate of the Jedi, Apocalypse. And, of course, something that's probably more pressing on fans' minds, the survival of Darth Maul. He's back. And we're super excited to be talking about the final episode of Season 4 of The Clone Wars. Exciting times for Star Wars fans everywhere. I'm your host for this evening. One of them, anyway. My name's Riley Blanton. Thank you for tuning in. Also joining me is Bethany.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be back, as usual.
And special guest for this particular episode, and very aptly so, Mr. William Devereaux. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You're most welcome, and I say apt because you, in fact, have seen these episodes before anyone else has in the fan community, other than a select few lucky ones who were able to attend a special screening at Lucasfilm a couple weeks back, and I wanted to have you on now that they've aired. We'll talk about your experience at the screening, and of course, we'll all give our reviews of the episode. Mark's out for tonight. He's got a couple little things happening in his life, you know, babies being born. No. Huge congratulations right out the gate to Mr. Mark Herleman, who had his third child born into the world this past week. And so we wish him all the best as he is busy taking care of her this evening. So let's get straight into it. Let's talk about, William, I want to just begin straight out the gate and talk to you about your experience. I actually was unaware of the screening until it was already underway and people were going crazy on Twitter, so I didn't quite have time to be jealous, which may be, I guess, a good thing. But let me ask you, how did you hear about the screening, and what brought you all the way down to Lucasfilm?
Well, this is actually a very interesting story. So I kind of had an idea that another one would be coming for pretty much since the last screening, but you know, nothing for
sure. It's not horribly unusual. They do typically do these each year, am I right?
Exactly, yeah. So it was kind of one of those things I was expecting to happen, but they hadn't announced yet. Anyway, we got towards the end of the season. We hadn't heard anything. I was like, well, you know, maybe they're not going to do the screening. And I had planned a big trip up to Seattle and Microsoft for the last week of February, beginning of March. And I'm like, well, you know, it's probably okay. I'll still be able to watch the Clone Wars episodes. And, you know, of course, I do the We Talk Clones podcast where we review the episodes. And I'll be able to do that, too. So I can make this trip no problem. And then the week before I'm scheduled to leave, I get a call from my brother, actually, who just happened to be on the Star Wars fan page on Facebook. And he says, hey, they announced the screening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, great. Let's go. When is it? Because we only live about 2 hours away from San Francisco. And he says, I'll send you the details. And I pull it up and I look at it, and it was the week I was gone. The one week I could not make it. I was so upset. So
I'm so sorry to hear it didn't work out. I mean, that's a tragedy. But thanks for coming on the show, William. I really appreciate you coming on tonight, and we'll catch you
Well, I think I'll take off. No. No. So I sat there kind of trying to figure out how in the world I could get from Seattle to San Francisco and back up to Seattle for this Clone Wars.
Well, that's what you do. That's what you
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that's what you do. Exactly. So I was desperately trying to figure out a way to get it to work, and I ended up being able to reschedule my plans and cut the last part of the trip short, and basically flew straight from Seattle to San Francisco. Actually, I flew into Sacramento and then made the drive over to San Francisco without going home, nonstop. You know, I arrived there. Now, because I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it until a couple days later, I didn't actually register for the event when it went live.
Mm.
And so I registered about 3 hours before it closed. And they said, oh, we're out of room. Don't try to register anymore. And I just barely got in there, but they said they're already full. And so I didn't even know if I was going to be able to go. And I'd already cut my trip short and made the trip all that sort of stuff. So, yeah,
you're doing the fanboy style pilgrimage, though. You don't care. You're
exactly.
Breaking
let's,
into
let's try this anyway. So I get there and I ended up, I talked to them and they're like, oh yeah, sure. We just wait around. If we have space, you'll be able to get in. Sure enough, they had space because some of the crew wasn't able to make it. And so I was able to join them. And
Dave Filoni gave you his seats, what you're trying to say, right?
No, Dave Filoni was there, but some of the other crew was, they weren't able to make it. And so there was extra space. And
he's like, eh, take mine.
Very happy and very thankful they were able to squeeze us in because it was crazy.
That's awesome. I'll tell you what. I'm very thrilled that you were able to go, and even more thrilled that you're able to recount your experience here on the Star Wars Report. Just to give the audience a background, a lot of people probably by now, because it's been a while. We've got a bunch of new listeners who tune in each week, and it's always a lot of you may not know that William, we kind of had this unusual bond, and that anytime you wait in line for 6 and 8 hours from 2 o'clock in the morning onwards for George Lucas, there's this unusual connection. And I say all that to say is that we've known William a long time. In fact, I'll actually say this. I hope you don't mind. The first podcast Bethany was ever on is a We Talk Clones episode, their recap of Celebration 5. You can go find their archives at solosound.net and find that, where we were four of us fighting over one microphone.
Was that really your first podcast?
Yes, it was. Wow. Yeah,
It was my very first podcast ever. So that was a lot of fun.
Back in the day when we were fighting over one microphone, and now we have two, so Bethany can just overshout me, and I can't steal it anymore. So.
But that
gives you some background. We've known each other a long time. We had a grand time at Celebration 5. Celebration 6 coming up. A bunch of new announcements happened recently. We'll talk about that later in the show. But let's get back to the screening. So what was it like? I mean, what's the theater like? What was the atmosphere like? What kind of fans were there?
So it was very casual, but still a lot of fun. It's I don't know if you've ever gone to some of the other screenings, it wasn't quite as big as the Savage Press screening that they had around the country. I think they had, 4 or 5 of those in different cities?
Maybe even been more, yeah.
Maybe even more. So it wasn't that scale. They didn't have, huge posters and tons of, there wasn't as much of the marketing, I guess, behind it. Mm-hmm. It was more like the first, second, and now the most recent one where it's, you walk in and, We got there so early that we actually just sat around the lobby for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And they finally said, okay, everyone has to go outside so we can actually form a line and have you all check in. And that was about an hour before the screening started. So, everyone's standing in line and Mary Franklin walks out with her remote-controlled R2-D2 and she's saying hi to everyone. And, of course, Bonnie Burton's there and Pablo Hidalgo and... everyone you'd expect. Tracy Canobio, who was helping to run the event. Cool. And so, they're out there talking with the fans, getting things set up. And then once you sign in, they give you, afterward, they gave away some, a little poster and some stickers and that sort of thing. But you walk into the theater, and it's a very, very nice theater.
All right.
I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of the theater inside of Lucasfilm. No. I should clarify, this is at Lucasfilm, not at Skywalker Ranch.
Not at Skywalker Ranch. Now, but they have a video of it up on StarWars.com that you guys can go check out. And that was that. It was just like a brief little recap of the Q&A. And looks like you guys are having a good time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, you can actually glimpse us in a couple of the shots. But
Yes. Yep. I think Bethany caught this timestamp. Was she the first one to find that? I don't know. I think so.
I believe so. I remember.
find William in a time.
I was like, wait, that face looked familiar.
Wait a second.
Rewind. Oh, wait, it's William.
Yes, investigative journalism.
It looks like you guys all had fun in the Q&A too. How long did that last?
Oh, probably half an hour, I think. I didn't keep track exactly. They obviously ask you to turn off all your cell phones and that sort of thing. So. For the screening and afterward.
Is it an atmosphere where you see a couple people like try to sneak some pictures or anything like that, or is it pretty that
during the screening?
Yeah,
I didn't see anything. No,
okay,
no, it's everyone's very. They're all Star Wars fans, you know. It's like you guys know from Star Wars Celebration and standing in line to see George Lucas. Everyone's very nice, very kind, all Star Wars fans are.
Until they get on the internet,
the majority of them. So
until they get on the internet, my friend.
Yes.
There's that. Oh, you gotta love the blanket of anonymity. Another topic for another day. What was your favorite moment of the whole screening? If you had to pick one,
my favorite moment. Well, just being able to kind of see friends there again, because people you see all the time, whether they work at Lucasfilm or other fans, you can see various people there. Of course, there's the episodes themselves, which are fantastic.
Yes.
And that's always fun. The fact that, Dave Filoni and a lot of the crew don't usually run off after the Q&A. They actually stand around and talk to the fans. A lot of times if you're at a panel, like at a convention, they'll be rushed off because someone else has to take over the room or they have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
And in this case, they just stand around and chat and, they'll sign the posters and all that sort of stuff. They had Sam Witwer and Dave Filoni and Clancy Brown roll on the Q&A, which was moderated by Pablo Hidalgo, and it was really enjoyable. Most of that information, though, has been released online since then, so there's nothing you really missed.
Yeah, yeah. Think. Well, it seems like a fun event overall. So let's get right to it. Let's open up the can of spiders, or I guess now no longer spiders, the can of visionary malls, and talk about season 4, episode 22.
The end of all things.
I don't know if you've been tuned in recently, William, but we've been so excited about these last 4 episodes, especially of the Clone Wars. We've just been doing segments on our show each week just talking about them. And I'd love to grab your opinion. You on We Talk Clones, you're reviewing each of these episodes every week. You go everything from the R2 Suds Baths episodes to these episodes to... I mean, you Clone Wars... I'll just begin by saying this. Clone Wars can has this wide swath of direction, and I think that's really one of its greatest strengths and also greatest weaknesses, is that it really has so many different directions that it goes in it throughout a season. I mean, we open the season with the underwater episodes, and then kind of some sillier episodes, and then the
Umbara para para.
What was it? Yeah, I know.
The Umbara arc.
Yes, the Umbara arc, which was awesome, and closing out, of course, with these episodes. I've been super excited, but I've seen a lot of mixed reactions, but not what I thought I would see. I thought I would see a very typical, Darth Maul couldn't have survived, it's unrealistic, I didn't want to see it. I'm seeing a lot of people who just weren't pleased with the execution of it. I couldn't disagree more. I was very, very thrilled with the way these two episodes, especially the last one, went. And we, of course, saw the team-up, I guess, the tag team of Ventress and Kenobi, something I've been waiting for since the Clone Wars movie, because they had that kind of connection of that flirtatious connection that was the kind of semi-present in the movie, and now that happened. But overall, I'd give it a good, a solid episode. What was your overall impression of the episode, William, speaking especially as someone who saw it, into screening in a theater?
The episode in particular, or
episode
22, last two episodes.
I mean, you can give your thoughts on both, because I am interested.
Yeah, so I think overall I really enjoyed it. Obviously, I would have liked if it personally, I would have liked to have it be a longer episode, a little bit, get to see more Darth Maul and that sort of thing. But I really love the battle between Darth Maul and Savage and Obi-Wan and Asajj. And I thought they did a great job, and I liked how they brought Darth Maul back a little crazy at first, and then slowly he started to become the way we remember him in Phantom Menace. He's obviously not quite there yet, but he's getting close.
I don't know how slow it was. I think the Mother Talzin kind of did her tap of the forehead, dong! And then it kind of just kind of came to himself, so to speak. But yeah,
I think he's not entirely there yet, though.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Bethany. One complaint I've heard a lot in this season, and it was around a little bit in the Night Sisters arc from season 3, but now especially, is this idea of magic and sorcery in the Clone Wars and how prevalent it has been, and how basically Darth Maul survived through his sheer willpower and the Force, as he said, you know, for all those years underground. But ultimately, he was reconstructed and saved by Mother Talzin's sorcery. What sorcery is this? As Count Dooku would say. What do you think of the idea of how much they included magic, and whether it's kind of ambiguous as to whether it's the Force or not? Do you think it's just a different way of viewing the Force, or is it a new thing?
Well, I have a theory that it is sort of a perversion use of the Force, and that sentence didn't entirely make sense, but the Force being used in a way that's unnatural. And so that's kind of my theory, but it doesn't have any grounds. That's just what I see when I watch the episodes. I think it's been awfully prevalent in the Clone Wars recently. I do like to see the Night Sisters and where they're going, but sometimes I do wish for the more heroes versus villains type battles instead of villains versus villains, where the heroes get beat up and then get saved by the villains.
Well, your thoughts, William?
I don't mind some aspects of it. I know we actually discussed this in quite a bit of detail on the episode of We Talk Clones, where we reviewed Massacre with actually you guys as our guests.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know if you got a chance to plug that here at all, but you did. We're happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, we had an awesome time. And yeah, that was definitely a big topic of the show, and I think it's certainly something that's going to be ongoing, because Darth Maul is coming back, and Mother Talzin, I think, is going to play, if I had to guess, an even bigger role next season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure of it. Do I like it? I don't mind some aspects of it, but other parts I thought were a little bit over the top, and it's really only been in Katie Lucas's episodes. Not to knock her at all, I've really enjoyed what she's done overall story-wise, but I didn't, Massacre in particular, I didn't care for. I didn't really mind how they took it in Revenge, though.
Yeah, Massacre was just so odd, and I think I mentioned this before, but pretty much my jaw dropped during the first couple minutes of the episode, and then it stayed that way the rest of the episode, and I'm like, did some other show kind of take the Clone Wars spot by accident? We didn't find out about it. Some sort of animated exactly. version of The Walking Dead or something. But I think it may be too prevalent in these recent episodes. More in Massacre, like you said, William, than in Revenge. But actually, if I may quote Dave Filoni from an interview with Yahoo.com, he said, "When we," meaning himself, other Clone Wars writers, and George Lucas, "when we were envisioning how we would find Maul and what kind of state he would be in, I was sketching these different manifestations of legs. We all agreed that Maul would be holding himself together through his rage and hatred. It would be an unconscious reaction. It wasn't an engineered thing. George said, quote, why don't we give him a big spider-like body?" So anyway, it's just kind of interesting because it's definitely something they planned. And it is definitely something that George Lucas was involved in, from what Dave Filoni was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I kind of like where they took it, and I really enjoyed the fact that they brought in the Darth Maul legs from Visionaries as the final version of Darth Maul, shall we say?
Yes.
Yeah, and they kind of were clever about it, because it's not identical, but it's very similar. It's pretty close, because they used the super battle droid legs, which I thought was a really cool twist.
Yeah, that was interesting. It's almost like adding insult to injury.
The episode, I think some people were overwhelmed, and it's that same old thing that always happens with Star Wars and the Clone Wars in general, and that's just people get so excited and have their own idea of what they think or hope will happen, and then it doesn't, and so they're not happy with it. So, especially in the last episode, Brothers, where everybody was upset because Darth Maul wasn't in it until the very last couple minutes, where I just kind of enjoyed the ride. I liked Morley the Snake, and I liked the cool visuals on Lotho Minor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it flowed much better as a movie that you see all at once, too, because you don't feel like, oh, Darth Maul's coming this week. Actually, he's not really here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you saw both back-to-back as a movie, right?
Yes, yeah. They didn't show the whole four-part arc, just the last two episodes.
Last two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those last two episodes are really just more of a two-parter, and the other two only very loosely tied in.
Mm-hmm. It definitely led up to it, but it led up more like a series of books than like a duology or trilogy.
Well, this thread...
One thing I wanted to mention was that was actually the case to some degree from what I saw with the original Savage Opress arc. When we got to see it in the theater screenings, we came out saying, oh, this is awesome, this is cool. And then when people online saw the first episode, they're like, what do you mean? Yeah. I mean, that wasn't as cool as you guys are all saying. And you're like, no, but wait. Oh, yeah. It cuts off somewhere. Where did it cut off?
Yeah, and you couldn't even tell where it cut off when you're watching it in theaters. I guess this is definitely probably the biggest cliffhanger we've had so far. And they're definitely teasing us with Darth Maul. Do you think they'll make us wait? Do you think the next season opener will be about Darth Maul? Or will it be another long wait for episodes?
I'd like to think that they'll start off and resume kind of where we left off, you know, with Obi-Wan and Asajj and the escape pod and Darth Maul and Savage, whatever they're doing, you know, stuck in their ship. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the interview with Dave Filoni on IGN said that they're actually we're not going to see the immediate aftermath of that fight, and it'll pick up later. So we won't get to see that dialogue between Asajj and Obi-Wan, for example, of, you know, why are you helping me and that sort of thing. And that leads me to believe that the episode may not be immediately after or immediately at the beginning of the season. We might have to wait a little while. I hope not.
Aww.
But I have a feeling that we are going to have to wait.
It's the biggest weakness to the Clone Wars, if you ask me, because this thread of the plot of Asajj Ventress and her evolution as a character is definitely the strongest and most compelling, I think, of any of the Clone Wars plots. I don't know if you guys would disagree with me, but this her involvement, her just story arc and being with Count Dooku, I guess if you think about it this way, the episode started with... Season 1 started with an episode with Asajj Ventress in it. And granted, it was a Yoda's episode. That's where she began, as this kind of assassin who didn't know what she was doing and was easily bested by Yoda. And she's come so far, and she's returned throughout the series consistently and really evolved as a character, and now really kicked it into high gear. This last sequence of episodes and the Night Sisters episodes from last season, for me, were really just about as much about Asajj Ventress as they were about Darth Maul, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we kind of had that split arc this time around. They gave us four episodes, two for Asajj and two for Savage and Maul, because they had so many plot points they developed in the Night Sisters trilogy.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And I mean, Asajj Ventress as a bounty hunter, yes, and yes, that's awesome. I love that direction. But I guess it's going to be a long summer wait. And you know what? Cartoon Network, why can't you give us a teaser?
Yeah.
That was my biggest disappointment.
I know.
What is wrong with you?
Well, it's the same problem Cartoon Network's had all seasons, so, you know.
Goodness. Cartoon Network can be frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Well, let's jump through our final thoughts on this episode and maybe a little bit of insight on season 4. Season 4 is possibly the strongest season yet, although I did like season 2 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2 was very strong as well. But I think season 4 outdoes it a little bit, and mainly because of the really strong Krell series of episodes, and of course the final four episodes of the season, I think are really what pushed this season over the top, and really, you know, they did an outstanding job. And they had one or two goofy episodes, but that weren't up my alley. But overall, it was a great season. This episode in particular, I liked a lot because it really gave some great insight and explanation to Darth Maul. And it's interesting that whatever people have been saying about these episodes, the rhetoric and the talk of the fan community has not been, as I expected it to be, all about how did he survive, and that doesn't make any sense, and it's just cheap, they're just, you know, it's tying in with the Phantom Menace re-release. That's actually not really the consensus. It's people are asking bigger questions, and I think that's a good sign. So, I mean, I give the season a solid 4.5 out of 5, and this episode a solid 4.5 out of 5. If I were to do that, I won't steal the Womp Rats thing. You'll have to go listen to We Talk Clones for that one. But I did enjoy the episode a lot. William, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I really enjoyed this season. If I had to pick up a specific aspect of a season, I think season 3's second half was the strongest.
Yes.
I think I loved every single episode except for the Citadel trilogy, which was good, but not quite as good. But between the Night Sisters and Mortis and Chewbacca, it was a fantastic last half of the season. Overall, though, I think season 4 is probably one of the strongest seasons we've had yet. And it was a lot of fun. Really, really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Yeah.
I have really liked this episode. I mean, sorry, this season of the Clone Wars, and particularly these last few episodes. I'm very, very curious about where the character of Darth Maul will go from here. Because both Sam Witwer and now Dave Filoni have both said about Darth Maul, variations of, he's not just the blunt instrument we saw in The Phantom Menace. He's not just this somewhat insane, psychotic person that we've seen in these last two seasons. He's going to come and get you all.
Yeah.
Well, and he's going to be a recurring character next season. So, I mean, I hope, I guess by that comment alone means we won't have to wait till the end of the season.
Yes.
Yes,
but, hopefully not till, like, in the last half or so.
Well, William, it was great to have you on and great talking to you again.
Yeah. Thanks we always appreciate on, you coming on. And, hey, we'll have to have you back sometime, maybe during the mid-season break, as we finally get some kind of teaser for season 5.
Yeah, hopefully.
And, hey, we'll meet up at Celebration, right?
Indeed, yeah. You know, that might be the place where we get our teaser for the next half, next season. Yeah.
Might have we'll to do a big to... big Clone Wars roundtable, multi-podcast roundtable waiting in line for the main event of season.
Exactly. You're more than welcome to join us for our We Talk Clones episode from Celebration.
That would be awesome. William, pleasure to talk to you as always. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks. Thank you, Riley Bethany.
Thanks for coming on.
Okay.
I always have envisioned Maul singing that song in the background.
I'm gonna get you.
Get you. One that, you know, play that in the background of the Clone Wars episode.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report. You're listening to us live on Middle Earth Network Radio. Thanks, everybody, joining us in the chat room. Woo!
Play the news segment thing.
Play the news segment thing. You have to give me some kind of warning.
Aw.
Okay. But. Yeah, I guess I wanted to follow up, before we jump into the news, I want to follow up briefly and say one thing that I forgot to mention about Clone Wars, and I guess I don't feel like I quite expressed it well enough. I do really like it, and when they do it right, they do an awesome job, but I'm just really waiting for them to just get down dirty and serious and really just follow through some. I don't care if it's the Mandalorians or Asajj Ventress or Ahsoka and wherever she goes, or Captain Rex, or just do something that week to week has any kind of sense of thread and importance to continue listening. You see what I'm saying, Bethany, at all? Yeah, and that's called stalling because I'm trying to find the audio clips. And dead air. Isn't there something you forgot to say about the Clone Wars episode?
Oh, I was just sitting there watching you squirm because I was being all mean, and Riley's doing all this hard work keeping the show running. So anyway, I did have a couple things. I just think it's very interesting to me that with the Clone Wars, we've seen it go all over the place.
Yeah,
so many different types of episodes, different types
of characters. It's like they can't decide.
But it's almost like this: the Clone Wars is being forced, dragged, and pushed into becoming one story.
Yeah, it's, especially as
it occasionally breaks out, like it's fighting to get another episode out that's just about one character that doesn't come back at all. But it seems to be slowly, slowly, reluctantly, but surely being made into a one story type of show, like Battlestar Galactica or Avatar The Last Airbender. It's interesting.
Never heard
it's
of it.
Something.
Never heard of it.
It's something I've talked. We've all talked to other Star Wars fans and podcasters about, and I think it is slowly becoming that. Whether it'll continue on that path,
I think when the Clone Wars is over, there will be fan edits of certain plot threads that will make it into a movie.
Can you imagine? That would be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk some news. We're not talking spoilers. We're talking news. Ah, there we go.
We have something to report.
Sir, closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
Unless that news has spoilers, in which case I can play both clips.
Well, recently in an interview, Ewan McGregor, this is a little while ago, but not too long ago, but he talked about the prequels in a recent movie, and I saw this interview published on Club Jade. He said about the prequels, well, I
hated
them. Well, I like them.
Hated them.
I mean, I saw them when they came out and I haven't seen them since, but I was happy to be in them.
Because I was happy to be in. Oh, wow. I just went Russian. I was happy to be in them. To be in the Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
He said, I felt that it was a great part of that huge legend of Star Wars. And, you know, I never involve myself in the discussion about it or the criticism of them or not.
I wonder.
They are what they are. And fortunately, to the moment they've re-released the first one, and there is a whole generation of kids now who weren't around when we released them before. Children love them, regardless of what the diehard Star Wars fans from the 70s think. Kids love them to bits, and I've always really enjoyed that with my discussions with them. You know, when people's kids met before come up and they see Obi-Wan Kenobi, they've always got nice questions to ask and stuff.
Did he say and stuff?
He did say and stuff.
And stuff.
Only it was without.
That's honey to my ears. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
This morning I logged into my Twitter account.
Tweet.
The problem with that joke is that it never gets old.
Sorry.
I was about to be exasperated, and then I smiled and laughed, and then I realized why that thing's so funny. So I logged into Twitter. And anyway, after I logged in and I saw on the headlines as we're making the rounds this morning on the news cycle, that kind of jumping into real world stuff, congressional's approval rating has jumped. The approval, a new poll released this morning said that, Congress's approval rating had jumped by 4 points. It went from 86% disapproval to 82% disapproval. So only 82% of Americans disapprove of their Congress, both parties.
Me never to become a politician.
But so
they're not
even
liked in Star Wars.
So I was listening to radio this morning and then reading some headlines and stuff, and I realized that, a couple weeks back, it was no secret that, by no secret I mean I talked about it on the show, that I went to Nashville, to the state capitol, for Civil Air Patrol stuff. I swear this has something to do with Star Wars, so stay with me. And I got to meet a lot of state representatives, local congressmen that, live in. It's a part-time job at the state level. But, it still made me think, these people are human. And whether it be our congressmen or politics or whether it be celebrities, they're just human. But there is this sense that people really are very, very, very quick to jump on a bandwagon of negativity, where it's like our human instinct to react very negatively to something. So we're like, ah, I have to Congress, I have to have an economy, I have to have that. And I was just like, because it got really predictable for any of the news stories I saw, whether it's CNN or any of the major news networks, where everybody's like, well, yeah, it's because all our congressmen are horrible. You know, they're all terrible people. They're the devil, basically. And so that it's very predictable and just kind of flat after a while. And, you know, I understand this. Our country's in economic hard times. There's a lot of political strife. But bring that back to the Star Wars. It's funny how many things parallel in the Star Wars community. And I was listening to a podcast. Oh, I can't remember which one it was on the Twit network. And it was interesting because whenever the prequels are brought up in some of these more mainstream geek sites and stuff, there's so this quick obligatory reference of blah 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 blah, and the Phantom Menace sucked. You know, it's blah blah blah, and the Phantom Menace is horrible. Blah 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 blah, Jar Jar's racist. It's just where it gets so predictable, and it's like, well, this is fact because enough people spout it in loudly on their internet blogs. This must be fact, and so.
But Riley, this it is fact. They are horrible. I've been drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, but so that's why the news story this morning reminded me of the Ewan McGregor interview in the show notes, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's not true. And with kids these days, I am one of those kids. I would have been, hey, Mr. McGregor, you were awesome as Obi-Wan. Can you say, I'm not sure, a few times?
yeah.
It's off the... His midichlorian count's off the charts, Master.
As Mark said, because he hopped into the chat just now.
Mark hopped into
the
chat.
He said, spin, spin, spin.
Spin.
It all gets spun in certain lights.
Yep. So yeah. I say all that because it's just funny to me how it's... If you don't like the movie, I've said this and I'll keep saying it, and I'll probably keep saying it the whole time we do this show. If you don't like the movie, I don't care. But just... leave me alone. You know, it'd be very nice if people could just let me hang out in my nice little walled-off garden where I could just pretend like everybody likes the movie that I like and just pretend that there aren't any haters and just be happy. We could run away somewhere where we could be safe, Annie, where we could... No.
Wow. That took a different turn. I understand your meaning, and I'm sure you're not saying, oh, well, no one can ever say I don't like it. Or no one can ever say, you know, I just don't care for that movie and I didn't like this part about it or something. But it is nice to enjoy stuff without being afraid of saying that you enjoy it. You know, sometimes I have said I like XYZ, and my friends, my family, people I've worked with, people I don't even know on Twitter who follow me come back and say, why you like that, you stupid.
With like no adjectives, just like that.
Not quite. That's the general. That's generally what I get though, and so it's interesting just to see the different reactions.
Pro tip for the internet.
Pro tip.
This is free. I'm not going to charge anything for this. Never call anybody stupid on the internet. I mean, why? Why would
stupid, 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 stupid.
Yeah, I used to do that as a kid, by the way. I was that kid. Stupid, 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 stupid. So, yeah, that was my point. Let me do it. So, yeah, fun times.
Also, Lane in the chat brings up a good point. Mm-hmm. He says, on the other hand, I think people are also afraid to express their reservations about Star Wars stuff that they may not like.
Mm-hmm.
This is also
Goes both ways.
I have seen people who saying, I don't like XYZ, they have the exact same reaction come at them. Why
you prequel hater, you? Get off my message board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why you no like this, you stupid?
why you no like... I think we have an episode title. I think we have an episode title.
Why you no like this, you stupid?
You stupid.
Oh, no.
Fun time.
I think that Bethany and Riley of this show have had way too little sleep and are just a wee bit crazy tonight.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
Denial.
All right. Timothy Zahn. This broke today. New Timothy Zahn book. This is from EW. shelf-life.ew.com/2012/03/22/22/Timothy-Zahn-trying-to-talk-without-taking-a-breath-Star-Wars-Scoundrels-Cover-Reveal/ Star Wars Scoundrels, New Timothy Zahn novel, features Han, Chewie, and Lando.
Han. Han, Chewie.
There's still time to save Han.
Han.
All right.
Han. Long-time disagreement between Bethany and Riley.
We'll leave it there. So, new cover. This is actually super exciting. Hey, is Mark still in the chat? That guy still in the chat?
Mark was saying he hasn't had any sleep either.
Oh. Mark, you delirious parent, you. If you're with us, hop on Skype if you can. We'll bring you in for this story if you're so interested. Hey, look, we got a bunch of people in the chat. Thank you guys for tuning in. Mm-hmm. Side note, for people listening to the podcast version, I'll say this because I'll forget it later. Definitely tune in every night. MyMERadio.us is the place to be. And we're there every Thursday night, 8 o'clock. And what we want to do is I love to bolster the chat room. And it's just awesome to see the people who are in the chat room now. Because I'd love to get enough people tuning in live to where we could do a call-in segment. But we need to spread the word and make it more of an event, because there isn't a single Star Wars podcast out there, no matter how big, that does a call-in segment anymore. And I think that could be cool, even if it was just live, even if it wasn't in the podcast version. That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And speaking of which, Wesley joined us in the chat, so welcome. Welcome. Anyway, where were we?
I don't even remember. Let me go back to the show notes. This is why we have show notes.
Show notes.
Timothy Zahn's new Star Wars book.
Yes,
That is a cool sounding book. It's very interesting to see Zahn writing outside, perhaps, of his comfort zone just a little. He's still working with original trilogy characters, which he tends to write and write quite well. But it's been a long time since he's written anything without a good bit of Mara Jade and other characters like that. So by a long while,
you mean never.
Well, he did a good bit in the
name
first.
Me a Zahn book without Mara Jade.
Yeah, I did.
I will say this because I have not read all the Zahn books. I've read most of them. So calm down. Stop your emails. I've read almost all of them. I think it's just like the Hand of Thrawn duology. That's the only one I haven't read. But is there one? Is this may be a record?
Because
Nathan Butler is always joking on the great podcast Star Wars Beyond the Film at StarWarsReport.com. Is joking how one-dimensionally is not. I don't 100% agree with Nathan on that particular count, because I just think Timothy Zahn's awesome writing counters his attachment to his particular characters.
We need to actually pull Mark in before we can actually get him to talk. To answer your question, I don't.
Here we go.
That was a weird noise.
Pulling Mark. That was weird. Mark.
He sounded like aliens came and grabbed him.
Let's see if I can do this.
Anyway. What I'm saying is, back in the early Zahn days, he didn't write quite as much about those characters. The Thrawn trilogy really delved into...
Outbound flight!
Oh, there he is!
Outbound flight!
Oh, he got me! I've been got! Oh! Goodbye.
Ooh. He's got... I don't know how to run this show by myself.
It's all yours.
Here.
I'll see you later.
Get back here.
I was wrong! I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, back on target. Mark, welcome. Hey. Glad you could come join us.
I am here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, anyway. So we're talking about Zahn.
We're talking about scoundrels, are we not?
We are.
Scoundrels, and Mara.
I'm on the fence. I love Ocean's 11, 12, 13, you name it.
17,
any of those Ocean movies I like, Italian Job, Bank Job. That kind of stuff is cool to me. Now... the Han Solo story set where he's about to get the money for Jabba, I mean, we're like, well, he's going to lose it, right? So part of me is like, do we really need this story? But then I'm like, well, Star Wars, and it's fun, and it's a smuggler story, and it's on. So yeah, I guess we do kind of need this story. So I'm interested to see where they're going. There's a part of me that's a little trepidatious. We see Lando on the cover, so you're like, okay. And as Nathan, like you mentioned, will point out, you know, when Lando goes, you got a lot of guts showing up here,
nerve,
or whatever he says, it's now like the Count Dooku, you know, that
powers
have doubled since last time we've seen each other. So there is that side of thing that, you know, if you're going to be a little more, you know, negative about it, it might be a little kind of disconcerting, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, I think about like Death Troopers, you know, spoiler alert. It ends with Han not even having the Millennium Falcon, but that didn't throw the EU into a complete brake check. So I think we can get around it. I'm curious to see, though, like you did mention, if Mara shows up. or Thrawn.
Wouldn't that be hilarious, though? It's like the
George Cardass.
No mention at all, and then like two pages in, and then Mara Jade walked into the room, and...
No. It's going to be like this. It's going to be like, and Han turned over to Lara, what's her name, who's been in this book all time, and she pulled off a mask, and there she was, Mara Jade, the Emperor's Hand.
In a world. I don't know. It seems intriguing to me. Now, actually, if I was going to do a dramatic reading of their excerpt, so then I realized my mistake. I'm going to bed some music, and I pulled up Pandora, and then they pulled up... I don't think I can do that kind of bed music for the...
The Star Trek report hits again!
The Star Trek report!
Curse you!
So I may have to do it without my fancy smancy, although, would it be kind of interesting... Tron music. I could do now. No. All right. So, but yeah, basically, the Death Star has been destroyed. The Rebellion has had its first big victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, Rebel ships managed to... No, that's the opening crawl. Han Solo, newly conscripted to the Rebel Alliance, is on the run from the Empire and the bounty hunters, eager to return him for the huge reward being offered by Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba.
Drat! I thought I could sneak that one past you. Now a mysterious stranger offers Han the resource to execute a daring robbery from a major crime lord. The mission is impossible.
Just that little blurb alone makes it sound a little more intriguing, because I actually thought this was going to happen before episode 4. So.
But the prize will make Han a free man. I'm just getting kind of depressed now. With no choice but to accept, Han Solo and his Wookiee partner Chewbacca set out to assemble a cast of rogues, knaves, cons, carnivalmen, and jokers. No. With the right combination of wit, skills, and daring do to pull off an operation of this complexity and scale, the best scoundrel the galaxy has to offer, and the game is on. A rip-roaring intergalactic Ocean's 11-style heist adventure starring... Han Solo, Chewbacca, and Lando Calrissian. Written by number
one.
As
the hairy Wookiee and the suave smuggler's friend.
Written by New York Times number one best-selling author of Choices of One, Timothy Zahn. By the way, great cover. Really, really silly. I like when they say Timothy Zahn, New York Times best-selling author of Star Wars, Choices of One. Like, they could have put maybe, I don't know, Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, you know.
They're shaking it up a bit.
Nah. Yeah. I don't know if that helps the sales of Choices of One, or if that's just this most recent one, or what the deal is there.
Hey, most recent in the minds of the general reader.
Yeah. Cool shirt that Lando has on that cover.
Yeah, it looks vaguely imperial in design, actually.
Of course, now, as we all know, Han Solo only has one wardrobe, and that's the only thing he wears for all three movies.
Well, no, he's got the yellow Carillion stripe pants and the blood stripe pants. I mean, he can shift it around on us from time to time.
Lando,
he's a little color coordinated.
Lando also not beyond just wearing Han Solo's wardrobe from time to time, as C-3PO would
say.
You know, actually, that brings up a good point. At the end of Return of the Jedi, we see Lando in Han's clothes, but what if the yellow pants and the rest of the outfit was actually Lando's old clothes that he just left in the back of the closet?
That could be interesting. There's a hilarious moment on a Robot Chicken DVD commentary where they ask Billy Dee himself about that, and he's like, I don't know. Billy Dee Williams is in the Falcon at the end of Empire, and he just kind of opens up and checks, hey, what have we here? Some clothes.
What do you guys think
stripes.
The measurements...
That's just my color.
What do you guys think the measurements on the front of the Scoundrels cover mean?
Mugshot.
Yeah, it's mugshot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that makes me think Ocean's 12. Would they get arrested? I'm like, this might be good.
Yeah, I thought
they talk about it being an Ocean's 11 type movie, and that movie had a lot of twists and turns. As the saga itself went, it was like each one you would anticipate some kind of twist at the end that you weren't expecting. So that to me is intriguing. I'm really looking forward to how, we know he's going to lose the money at the end, but in this case, it's more about the how we get there that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it looks to be quite an interesting book. Like I said, it'll be interesting because it's a little different than some of the stuff Timothy Zahn has written recently, but mostly because it's very different than anything we've seen in Star Wars EU recently. So I find that to be intriguing, kind of like the first Sith book coming out. Everybody's like, oh, a Sith book, that's cool. And yeah, now we've had a rash of Sith books after that, so it's not really a novel thing anymore.
Well, that reminds me something. People keep saying that this is a smuggler book, and I have to question that. Is it going to be a smuggler book because we have people that smuggle a few times in a couple movies on it, or is it a smuggler book because they're actually smuggling?
Probably the former, not the latter. That probably because they're just smugglers on it. Although I never really thought of Chewie as a smuggler, but I guess he kind of is by profession.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, it's I guess. Let's just make the quick rounds on a scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you for it, and why? I'll jump us off with and just say that I'm actually leaning towards it, especially depending on when it comes out. Of course, the same old ridiculous time slot of December 26th, 2 days after Christmas, instead of
what?
Before. Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Come on.
Red Harvest
Delray,
all over again.
Erich, somebody listening. Why?
Yeah. So, but I am excited for it.
Chance, man.
And my Amazon gift.
This irritates me. I got to rant here for a second. This just irritates me because these books have no shot in the Nine Hells of Corellia of making a book of the year. I mean, even if it was the best book written, it's not going to be out enough for people to be like, yeah, that was the best book. Yeah. Of all 2012, man, Scoundrels came in at the last minute and won. Like,
dude.
Like Lightning McQueen and the little second race. No, it's not going to happen. Give the book a chance.
Well, that was a stronger reaction than I thought, Mark. But yeah, it's true. That's the current time slot, and you know, it's the Christmas gift cards. That's what they're going for. It's people are going to the store those days after Christmas and spending their Walmart gift card. That's probably what I'll do. So they got me. But yeah, your final thoughts on a scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you? I'm a 7. I'll go for you, Mark.
Oh, I would say I'm probably a good solid 8 on this one. You know, the little things about it that get me on the negative, dropping it down 2 points, is just I'm kind of concerned with all the characters. And yeah, and I don't mind that Zahn does the Mary Sue action that he gets blamed for. But at the same hand, I hate seeing it because I feel like it gives people ammunition. They want to use it against him. So it's like I'd like to see him break that mold. So
yeah,
in that regards, I'm kind of disappointed that it was set where it is, but I'm really excited about the premise of this book. So you can't go wrong there. I mean, Han Solo. There's so many Han Solo stories I want. I mean, even with Death Troopers, yeah, like I said before with the spoiler warning, I want the tale of how he gets the Falcon back. I mean, there's plenty of stuff we can shovel in down here, but that's a whole nother topic. So I'm just going to enjoy this book when it comes out, and hopefully we get a lot of Chewie action. I think that's another thing I really enjoy is how Chewie is portrayed. You know, some books, they'll really like give him some speaking or give him inflections and things like that. And Don, as far as I remember back, has always done a really good job of capturing Chewie. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bethany, if you're just we've got to get a number system.
I would give it a 7 out of 10 as far as excitement level. I can't wait to see what it does for the Star Wars Expanded Universe. And I really wish Mara weren't gone. I love Mara as a character.
It'd be nice to have Chewbacca back.
But yeah, it's nice to see some returning characters, old characters.
Yeah.
Two young lovers with nothing better to do. Let's sit around the house, get high and watch a tube. Here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down to El Paso.
They headed down to Alderaan.
To a great big castle.
Just to watch it blow up.
Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run. Go on, take the money and run.
Sing it solo.
Go on, take the money and run.
Job, I swear I didn't mean to drop it out the back of the ship.
Take the money and run.
Next up, we have rumors that video game developer Spark Unlimited could possibly be in the production of Battlefront 3 or possibly Force Unleashed 3. This is slightly old news that I've been savoring for a little while to see if anything came of it. It hasn't yet. It's from the 9th of March of this year. Not too old, but a little older than we typically cover. I just found this interesting to see how closely people follow this type of news.
No, I'm marinating.
Xbox 360, the official Xbox magazine and website. Doesn't have a name that I can source. So I was going to be nice and source you, person, but you don't give me a name to source, so I'm not going to source
Bobby
you.
Bobby Smith says.
He says that Spark posted job listings earlier in the month looking for a third-person action-adventure sequel from a high-profile science fiction franchise.
All right.
Sporting a multiplayer component and set for release on the Xbox 360, PS3, and PC.
Hear that, Lucasfilm?
At about the same time, someone picked up that on a LinkedIn resume that mentions a, quote, third-person sword-fighting game. Could this possibly be Star Wars The Force Unleashed 3 or possibly Battlefront 3?
No, it's Mass Effect.
I tell you, conclusive evidence, Lucasfilm, start printing the press release out right now. It's out there. It's gone live. It's viral. It's conclusive, and no.
Well,
I would die.
Spark is also hiring for a multiplayer engineer with, quote, experience in maintaining and extending an existing network framework for a AAA game. Anyway, whatever the project is, a Star Wars basis seems increasingly likely. Why? Because earlier in that week, the studio tweeted that it was in San Francisco, larging it up with an undivulged publisher.
Okay.
They're like, ooh, look what we're doing, but we can't tell you, so we're just going to tease about it.
Just like those obnoxious jerks you follow on Twitter. It's like, look at me, I'm looking at the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Twit pick! Aren't you jealous? This is like the gaming equivalent. I was with a undisclosed developer. I can't say much. Just certainly AAA titles.
At the time, it was...
What can I say?
There,
it was LA.
You can't say too much is special because pretty much the entire games industry was at San Francisco at the time attending the Game Developer Conference.
It was LucasArts!
But Spark just happened to visit a restaurant located a few minutes' drive from Lucasfilm Limited.
This is some investigative journalism, I'll tell you that.
I was just going to tell you, this is so funny. And they just happened to go clubbing at the Infusion Lounge afterwards. Infusion's highlight on that particular evening? LucasArts' official GDC party. Responding to excitable inquiries on Twitter about whether the game would be revealed at E3, Spark Unlimited tweeted a frustrating no word on when there will be word.
Okay.
So, asked why fans had to undergo such torment, the studio added, "Some say I have a dark side to me."
So basically, this guy is a jerk, is what you're trying to say.
Nah, just a cheeky little devil.
Just a cheeky little devil.
Cheeky balls! Cheeky!
Well, I love this tweet. This is a tweet from March 12th. So, like, a week ago.
10 days.
From @SparkUnlimited. Just saw a demo that will, and I quote, melt your face off. All under NDA. With a map. Interesting. And by map, interesting. So, they're teasing us. I guess if they're right, they deserve to be congratulated. If they're wrong, they deserve to be congratulated for their sheer amount of desperation trying to get news on.
I know.
I mean, truth is, there's this big void of video game fans who would love to play non-MMO Star Wars video games, and the titles just The Force Unleashed 2. People would either complain about the story or about it being too short. I can't speak to that because I actually didn't play it all the way through. But that's the
slacker.
Yeah, I know. hit me now.
Well, and what was interesting to me is this was all found out by several forum users and Twitter users. This wasn't actually found out by the person writing for Xbox.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting. These were people on the ground who don't work for anybody. Who
connecting
just
information.
This interested.
Pure
in
social
everything.
Engineering, by the way. I mean, this kind of investigative gaming journalism is pretty cool. I mean, it shows the fan base is really, really looking for something. And,
in a world,
let me tune over to the chat room, and I bet there are plenty of disparaging comments going into the Star Wars. I bet there are the Battlefront 3, A New Jedi Knight game, Rogue Squadron. No, let's do right the there. Force Unleashed 2. Yeah, I know.
Well, that, you know, that's a big point, though. Gaming fans have been clamoring for certain sequels for a long time, and then, you know, The Force Unleashed 2 comes out, and people are like, really? You didn't even give this a shot to really sink in yet, and you've got these other ones over here that people are dying for. You got this guy over here. He's literally bald. He's pulled out all his hair, banging it on a wall. I mean, you're not going to give him Battlefront 3. Come on. You give him these little Game Boy Advance things. Yeah. He doesn't own a Game Boy. He is ticked off. Come on. Throw him a bone. It boggles my mind that we haven't got these games yet. You know, I'm a Rogue Squadron fanatic. I love those games. And when the Starfighter games came out, I was like, ooh, we're like right here to have the emulator on a console. You know, I loved the old Xbox, the TIE Fighter, the Xbox versus TIE Fighter. Am I saying Xbox when I mean
yes.
X-Wing?
Yes.
Awesome. Xbox versus PlayStation 3, the video game.
Yes.
Available
watch
on the Nintendo Wii.
One is like R2, the other is like C-3PO. Place your money now. But, you know, it's one of those things where you're just like, it seems like a win-win, and the fact that they haven't done it yet, you're like, why? And you see these concept arts and these demos and stuff that leak, and everybody gets all excited. I mean, and people get excited, whether they're afraid to tweet it or not. There are little forums and chat windows everywhere. Hey, have you seen this yet? Oh, dude, did you see this link? And they're afraid to say anything because they don't want to be the one that everybody goes, it's not going to happen, dude.
Yeah.
Because everybody is wanting it to happen. But nobody wants to admit it.
I want a new.
Well, it's very similar to the BSG Blood and Chrome trailer that came out recently. And
it was crashed. I couldn't see it.
Well, see, it came out and everyone was Riley sobbing. Oh goodness!
I'll be okay.
Okay, so anyway, this interesting trailer for Battlestar Galactica: Blood and Chrome, the new television series that Sci-Fi is
Woo-hoo!
Putting out, not.
Oh,
not? It may go
Did
on
you say
as
not.
A, yeah,
Did you just say not? Are you are you messing with me? Wait,
no,
wait,
I'm
what? Not.
Oh.
Not what?
Mark, are we breaking this news to you?
What? Are you kidding me? Right? I thought they were making up everything they did bad with Caprica with this.
It was put on the chopping block.
Yep.
No! First new fate. First the Ninja Turtles. Now this.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah. So we literally just, oh wow, Mark, I thought you already knew that. I would have broken it more gently if I'd
Oh, and that Blood and Chrome thing that got canceled.
I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me they're messing with me about the teenage aliens.
Teenage mutant alien turtles.
I'm sick.
Yeah, so anyway, it's like
talk
that
about messing with someone's childhood.
That trailer for Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome went viral, and everybody on the internet, most everyone that I saw, had a very positive reaction. They were very excited about the show, and then come to find out that it's not happening.
Now, Mark, to soothe your thing.
This trailer was leaked.
Yeah,
it wasn't
an official.
So the trailer actually played? There was actually something? Because when I did it, it was all air. And then finally it said, content
removed.
Doesn't exist.
Content
like,
removed.
What is this?
Yeah. They went after it really quickly.
Oh, yeah. They shut that down. I saw, like, 10 minutes after it aired, and then it was gone. But no, they showed a teaser clip at WonderCon, and of course people had their videotapes, and it went out, and everybody was like, ah, we gotta see this! Because it was an awesome trailer. Because it was Battlestar Galactica.
Well, and that was the thing with Caprica. It failed so miserably. It was like, they did such an excellent job of building up all this plot and stuff with the series, and then they go back, and well, we're gonna do the past, and we're gonna do George Lucas style with the prequels. And they're like, wow, you guys took like a totally different page out of George Lucas's book, because I don't know what the heck you guys, what script were you reading?
Yeah.
This is a prequel to it.
Well, let me say this, Mark. Before you get too disappointed, sometime in the near future, they have confirmed that the pilot, the hour and a half pilot is finished, and they'll air the pilot as a TV movie on Sci-Fi. They just won't be finishing up the series. The rest of the series.
I'll take that.
Well,
it's possible
Razor
that they
fit
would
well in the other series, and if this can make up what Caprica just failed with,
well,
I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so interesting. Anyway, companies just can't keep things a secret anymore. Nope. So when you're doing stuff like this, you will have not self-proclaimed journalists, but people with a journalistic bent. They may not be professional.
Citizen journalists. Fair citizens, thou shalt capture the video of the Blood and Chrome trailer and put it on the internet. Thine internet.
Would that make it spoiler journalism?
Spoilerism. Spoilerism. So yeah, can't keep a secret. Secret, yeah. Secret. I got a secret.
Oh goodness!
I've got more transitionary music. I am the modern. Well, secrets like, well, I don't know, the new Celebration hosts. And come on, StarWars.com, play it,
please.
Celebration.
I set you up so well.
Celebration 6.
StarWars.com, I hate you. Yeah. I set it up perfectly.
Oh, by the way,
he's lying. StarWars.com, keep playing the awesome episodes of the Clone Wars. We still want them. Although, can you please put five up at a time?
The anticipation has been...
There it is. Here we go.
Building. You've been waiting, counting down the days, hours, minutes, seconds. The time has come. Ladies and gentlemen, your Star Wars Celebration 6 hosts on the digital stage. Voice actor, director, musician, sound engineer, David Collins. On the behind-the-scenes stage, author and all-around Star Wars expert, Pablo Hidalgo. And finally, on the Star Wars Celebration 6 main stage, the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi and Master Plo Koon is none other than the voice acting legend himself, James Arnold Taylor.
Oh. Didn't know you were filming. Okay, well, hey, it is James Arnold Taylor. Join me, Dave Collins, Pablo Hidalgo, and all of the galaxy of Star Wars celebrities that will be there for Celebration 6, August 23rd through the 26th, in Florida.
In Wi-Fi.
This is something you don't want to miss.
Dad,
get
nope.
your tickets now.
Get your... Anna, we're super excited about Celebration 6. And we're very happy to... And...
Place to stay, get ready for some cool Star Wars stuff happening. This one, I'm going to go out on a limb, is going to be cooler than any other celebration we've had yet. As a matter of fact, as my alter ego Obi-Wan Kenobi would say, you don't want to miss Celebration 6. This is the event you're looking for. I have a good feeling about this. We'll see you at Star Wars Celebration 6, August 23rd through the 26th in Orlando, Florida. Oh, and may the Force be with you. Always.
We be there. And no, we won't finish the whole episode of the podcast talking like that. Although it would be funny if there was like a Wi-Fi effect on our voice.
Yeah, we should
put a
Wi-Fi effect.
Five listeners out there are resetting their computer soundboards right now.
Yeah, they're like, wait, my internet's going out. And they're like, no, it's in the podcast.
Yeah.
Boba Fett.
So we got some feedback, Bethany. Would you mind kicking us off, or I can if you want, either way.
Feedback.
Now it's time for feedback of Star Wars Report. Oh, yeah.
I plead the fifth. Wow.
We need music, so I just figured I'd make it up.
Well, at least
and
that way it doesn't blip. Anyway, this is from Brian Klein on Facebook. I don't
Facebook.
Know.
Facebook. I've never heard of this
Facebook
thing.
I pronounced your name properly. Anyway. He said that he has a friend who is, quote, the typical OT-only fan. Doesn't like the prequel trilogy. He thinks Revenge of the Sith is okay. And he doesn't like the expanded universe.
Hater! Hater!
talk about labeling and profiling.
Hate McGee.
Okay,
remember what we were talking about earlier. Right?
Hate!
If you don't like something and you say you don't like it and someone comes out and says, why you know like you stupid.
Use your aggressive feelings.
Oh, come on.
Good, Anakin. Good.
You're being so inconsistent. I'm going to keep reading.
You did that one well.
Thank you, Mark.
Anyway, Brian goes on to say, I have friendly arguments with him regarding this quite often, and sometimes they can get a little heated, depending on how many beers we have had. A few weeks ago, after one of these arguments, I made a wager with him. Read the Darth Plagueis novel, and if it doesn't even slightly alter his view of the Phantom Menace or the expanded universe, I will wear a Red Wings jersey to the Hawks/Wings game that we are going to.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh,
now,
no, he didn't.
Being a diehard Hawks fan, I can't stand the Red Wings. Long story short, I'm taking him to see the Phantom Menace in 3D on Wednesday for the first time, my third time, and he's already done reading Heir to the Empire, and I've given him Dark Force Rising and The Last Command to
good
read.
Man, good man.
So either he thought that the Plagueis novel was that good, which it is, or else he's finally, quote, seeing the light, so to speak. Brian. I thought this was kind of interesting because someone got into Star Wars more than just the original trilogy, got hooked by Darth Plagueis of all books.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's give them Heir to the Empire or give them the first New Jedi Order book or give them some
Star
other
Star.
Book. But to hear someone getting hooked by the more backstory and political talking, even Star Wars fans were telling me that Darth Plagueis was convoluted and referenced so many EU things that unless you're an EU nut, you won't understand. But apparently this one person really liked it.
It worked for Brian's friend here. So, and I'm sorry, man, about the jersey. Very sorry.
So you see that disbelievers and or maybe labeled as haters, you too can grab Darth Plagueis and enjoy the Star Wars expanded universe.
Yeah, I think it can really just be hit and miss as far as what you enjoy and what you don't enjoy. There are books
that's
that
it.
Other people have told me that are their favorites, and I never liked. Mm. I didn't like... Mark, what was that book that had Mace Windu in it? I think it was a Stover book.
Oh,
Bad and Black with a purple lightsaber.
A Shatterpoint, thank you in the
Shatterpoint,
chat.
Shatterpoint, yeah, that's yeah. it. I'm
thank
like,
you,
Yeah,
okay,
I had
so
to get all right there after the Boba Fett books.
I read that when I was younger and didn't really have an appreciation for it. I didn't pay very much attention to it during the story, but I did not like that book.
Hmm.
I was the same way. It was like, yeah, it was okay.
Later, I went back and read a review on it and thought about it again when I hadn't thought about it in a long time. Like, you know, I did actually like parts of that book quite a bit. So I actually changed my mind about something. Gasp. Anyway, I think it can really be hit and miss as to what you like and don't like in Star Wars. And I'm not sure that there is too much of a need to label too many people. Why you know like you stupid? Why you like you stupid?
Hey, Bethany, now you liked it more on your second read through, right?
Yes, I didn't reread the whole thing, but I did. I appreciated its where it was coming from a lot more.
Now, I wonder if that's almost the Stover effect or if that is just something in general. Because, like, you know, Stover's books, I'm thinking of Traitor here especially in episode 3, are just some of my favorite ones. And every time I read them, it's something new in a sense. But yet, Denning, too, with Star by Star, was one of those. I reread that book a lot. And then Stackpole with Eye Jedi. I almost think, like, any book you reread, you get a greater appreciation for. Because, like, a movie. You know, you go to a movie and you see it in the theater. Then you go back and you watch it again. And you're like, oh, I didn't even catch that. What's that guy in the corner doing? You know, a lot of that kind of stuff. And I think the same thing with your books. And the more you reread them, I think that also plays into how much you like them. When people ask, you know, oh, the E is so big, where do I start? The first thing I ask is, well, what about Star Wars appeals to you? Because, you know, if you don't like the Sith and the Jedi and they're fighting back and forth – then a book story like Fate of the Jedi is not up your alley. But if you like X-Wings, then X-Wing, Rogue Squadron, Wraith Squadron, these are books that are going to be your bread and butter. You like Bounty Hunters, we got some Tales of the Bounty Hunter. I mean, there's plenty of different types of genres in the genre. It's really a matter of knowing what you prefer about the original movies or in general, and that gives you an idea of where to go when it comes to you, because it is a big, big monster of a beast. Yeah. I mean, like just this, with Shatterpoint, it took me almost 30 seconds just to go all the way through my books to find it. And they're all right there, easily accessible.
Wow.
Yep.
It's so true. It's a big big amount of stuff to digest. Andrew Halliday writes us and says, I want to share something with you guys real quick. I know you didn't ask this to me. You asked Aaron, your guest at the time. But I think this is an interesting story. It answers your question about parts of Star Wars that you might find inspiring. When I was growing up, I went to a French Catholic school, despite being neither. That's kind of funny.
Neither French nor Catholic, I guess.
Yes. Things are sometimes a bit alienating, especially when the vast majority of the class is undergoing the various sacraments, while non-Catholic Christians like myself sat in the back. But one day, during a religion class in grade 4, our nun teacher referenced The Empire Strikes Back. She used the scene with Yoda and Luke on Dagobah when Yoda couldn't lift the X-Wing out of the swamp. After Luke gives up, Yoda reaches out his arm and lifts it effortlessly. Upon seeing it, Luke is all, quote, "I don't believe it. I don't believe. I believe. I believe." No, I ad-libbed there a little bit. And Yoda solemnly replies, "Exactly. That is why you fail.
Sucker, believe not that the Force or I do."
Yes, yes, yes. The teacher then compared that to real life faith, and when you believe in God or have faith in whatever power you believe in, anything is possible. I took that to heart at the time, and even though the teacher was the single worst teacher I'd ever had growing up, I still think fondly of that particular life lesson which she dug up from my favorite Star Wars film, Andrew Halliday. Well, thanks for the email, Andrew, and we really appreciate it. If you want to email us, you can hit us up. Hey, hit us up right over starwarsreport@gmail.com.
What parts of Star Wars do you find inspiring?
Wow. It's a hard question.
I was asking the listeners.
Oh.
But yeah, that's too long of a topic for us to get into today, tonight.
Yeah, the music's rolling. Yep. That brings this episode 38, to a close. Can you imagine we have two ones in front of that? On episode 1138, I'll be 8 years in the future.
Yeah.
7 years.
I have no idea.
I've already got the title, THX.
THX.
Ah, yeah.
What was the... Well, oh, no. See, this is horrible because we had the joke early in the show, and I was like, oh, that's a perfect title, and then I just realized that I promptly forgot it.
I remember it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure you can catch
stupid.
That.
Yeah.
Why you said that? That was... See, Mark remembers, and he wasn't even on at the time.
I was listening in the chat. I thought you said Stew Pig. Well, yes, I like my pigs, dude.
Stupid versus stupid. No. So yeah, email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. What do you find inspiring about Star Wars? Do you have any funny personal stories about Star Wars? We'd love to hear from you. We'll read them on air, share them with all of the other Star Wars Report listeners. And hey, join the experience, MiamiRadio.us, every single week. Well, we occasionally take a break, but we're here most and every week, Thursday nights, 8 p.m. We really thank everybody who's in the chat. We got Lane Winry, Reader's Timeline, Vile Zero, James, Eves, DeGaz, Matt, all you guys who joined us live, we thank you.
Hey, I'm in the chat.
You don't count.
Oh.
You're in the studio.
Oh,
that's
okay.
About as into the show as you can be. You
just
can also...
smacked her, didn't
you?
See, you can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/StarWarsReport. You can find us on Zune Marketplace. You can find us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews there. Find us, as I said, each week on Middle Earth Network Radio. And don't forget, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. We're doing a lot more on Facebook, posting different funny pictures and videos and random insights.
I posted a picture today that has one squirrel standing over another, shooting it with lightning, and it says, "And now, young Jedi, you will die.
Unlimited power."
Anyway, it's really funny.
And don't forget, Twitter listeners out there, you too can get in on the Facebook action because all of our Facebook posts go right to Twitter.
That's right. That's right. They're all tied. Bind the social media together. So yeah, thanks for tuning in once again to the Star Wars Report. Thanks for listening every week, guys. Seriously. It's awesome. Really enjoy you joining us as we share our Star Wars journey and talk about goofy things, silly things, serious things, all the above. We have a great time each week, and we thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week talking about all the latest and greatest. Hey, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get a great round table together of folks to talk about the whole season 4 of the Clone Wars retrospective and look ahead to season 5, even though we don't have a stupid trailer for it. And maybe we'll have to prepare a eulogy for Blood and Chrome. I'm sorry we had to break that to you, Mark. I do apologize.
You're going to go rub salt in it now. I'd almost forgotten. Yeah. Ninja Turtles, too. Oh,
I know. But hey, we've got some cool geek stuff. We got the Avengers. We've got Hunger Games coming out this weekend. Fun stuff like that. So it's good times in the
geek
community.
There's actually a line at my local theater for that. I was like, sitting there, what's going on? Oh, that's right. Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm kind of glad we didn't go to the theater tonight then.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would have wanted to save the lines for celebration.
Yeah. And remember, Mini Bothans died, but still didn't save Blood and Chrome. Oh, well. but they also brought you the podcast. See you next week, guys.
Why you no lie?
We have something to report.
That is sad. All right.